Hi, I'm John. I'm one of the pastors at Victory, and I'm also the director of our provincial churches. At Victory, we are committed to plant churches all over the Philippines, believing that together we can disciple this nation. Hope this message inspires you to honor God and make disciples.
How many of you join us for our 5-day prayer and fasting, you know, whether in the spirit or actually fasted? I do hope that you have gained something there, you know, 5 days of just consecrating before the Lord and just hearing God, denying ourselves from food so that we can actually feast on the Word of God. And so it's good to see everybody here. Happy New Year. Glad to be back. And, you know, we had a good time also spending with our family the past few weeks. And we are starting a brand new series entitled Set Apart. Everybody say Set Apart. And basically this series has been prayed for by our apostolic team, our global apostolic team in every nation, and Pastor Steve, Pastor Jim Lafon. They felt like even earlier last year that this year, 2024, will be a year wherein God's people, the church, will be set apart for God's glory, and that we will put an emphasis on the holiness of God, and you know what it means for us to be holy. And how many of you know that God, you know, wants us as a people to be holy, right? And yet sometimes you don't understand what holiness means. And so that's basically the whole theme for the year. Now, my question for us this morning is, when you talk about holiness, what comes to mind? When you talk about holiness, when I say the word holiness, what comes to mind? What? God? Okay, yes. What else? Shout it out. Purity? Yes. Sacred? What else? Don't worry, this is not a trick question. Anything? Sanctified, consecrated, sinless, great, set apart, okay? So there are other things that, you know, comes to mind when you talk about holiness. Holiness can mean moral righteousness, uprightness, moral purity, you know, us walking with God, and that is correct. But sometimes the other aspect of holiness is, you know, maybe we think, I don't deserve it, right? Or I can't keep up. Or nasusunog ako. You know, that's why sometimes when we would invite our friends to church, you know, hindi ako makapasa sa church because holy yan. Masusunog ako. You know, that's the concept of holiness that we have. But yet, you know, even in the way we, maybe the way we wear, you know, our clothes, you know, we have a distinction maybe in the way our fashion. Okay, pagka sinabi mong holy, you know, these are like guys wearing white, flowing white robes. Okay, versus ripped jeans. Pagka naka-ripped jeans ka, hindi ka raw holy. Okay? Pero, is that really what holiness is all about? Or maybe music preference. Pagka raw music preference mo, dapat daw classical or something, okay? Or Christian, you know, can't listen to any secular music. Or maybe disposition. Maybe those people who are more quiet, who are low-key, are more holy than those that are loud or, you know, makulit. Is it really that, an external expression of holiness? But the reality is our understanding of personal holiness is grounded in the holiness of God. The only way that we can understand holiness is looking at God, because He is the only one who is holy. Amen. He is the only one who is set apart. He is the only one who is a cut above the rest. And we're more familiar, and sometimes we prefer more God's grace or God's love or God's provision. How many of you are believing God for provision? How many of you are grateful for that word this morning? Amen. That we will be more fruitful this year. I mean, we're expecting that, you know, that's the reason why we're starting, kicking off this year, praying and fasting. We're aligning ourselves with the will of God. And, you know, we love that. We love God's provision. We love God's grace. We love God's mercy. How many of you need God's mercy every day? How many of you need God's compassion? They're new every morning. Amen. Great is our faith. The great is thy faithfulness. But yet, when you talk about God's holiness, sometimes, you know, we tend to double think, you know, do we like God's holiness? Because when you talk about God's holiness, we associate God's holiness with judgment of God, with punishment for sin, because He is holy. You know, we cannot stand before a holy God. And we, you know, remember stories in the scripture about people who would just stand flippantly before the presence of a holy God and they would just drop dead just like that. But my prayer for us today and for the whole year is that we will be able to see holiness in a fresh new way. There's only one in the universe who's holy, and that is God. But how many of you know that when you talk about the holiness of God, it means God is perfect. It means God is good. That is the perfect goodness of God. His holiness is His perfect goodness expressed to humanity. I mean, that's what holiness is all about. You can separate holiness from God. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to talk about Psalm chapter 96. You know, holy may mean moral purity, as you know, as I have asked earlier. But the primary meaning of holy is this: it's being different. Everybody say being different. When you say holy, someone is holy or something is holy, it means that it is different. It is separate. How many of you enjoy the holidays or the holy days? It is something different from the common days. It is a cut above the rest. We're familiar with things in the Bible, right? When you know, we say the Holy Spirit or the Holy Communion or the Holy Church or a holy ground. You know, we were praying this morning and we're asking the Lord, Lord, make this a holy ground. When we step, you don't have to remove your sandals or Havaianas or whatever, okay? But yet when we step here, God has set this apart for His people. You know, yes, this is a sacred space. This is special than something like a place out there, because this is a gathering of God's people. You know the reason why this place is special? It's because you are here. Look at the person beside you and tell that person you are special. And it makes this place special. And the gathering of the saints, the gathering of the church, the holy community, when it's gathered together in one place, how many of you know that is a saturation of holiness in one floor of Akasha Hotel? Amen. Come on now. That is what holiness means. It is being set apart. It means it's special. You know, your birthday, we celebrate your birthday once a year, right? That is something that's special. It's set apart. We celebrate that. And I believe that that is, you know, what we call about, what we, when we talk about holiness, and when we look at who God is, He is simply not like us. Special. Cut above the rest. And what does it mean for us to worship a holy God? We're going to be looking at that in Psalm chapter 96, verse 1 to 9. Let's all stand up right now. And if you have your Bibles, why don't you go ahead and open it to the book of Psalm chapter 96, and we'll be reading from verse 1 to verse 9. Psalm 96, verse 1 to 9. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name, tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. Can we read all together from verse 4 to verse 9? All together, 1, 2, 3. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you so much for the preaching of your word. And even as we have experienced your presence this morning, we want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you because you are a holy God and you are meeting us, common man. But yet, because you have called us in Christ, we have been called holy. A holy church, a holy community, a holy people. And we thank you even for the opportunity for us to come into your holy presence and not die and be stricken out. But Lord, enjoy your fellowship and enjoy your goodness and enjoy your provision and enjoy every spiritual blessing that we have in Christ. So bless the preaching of your word today. Open up our hearts so that we can hear a clear word from the Holy Spirit. I commit to you this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say, amen, amen. You may all be seated. Make sure that you're smiling at the person beside you. Smile ka lang. Smile lang. You know, when you talk about holiness, it doesn't mean that we have to be serious, right? Sometimes when you talk about the topic of holiness, we associate holiness with piety. You associate holiness with dapat huwag kang gagalaw. Dapat tahimik ka. You know, but how many of you know that even the word says that God's giving us an invitation to come before Him with a joyful noise, right? That's exactly what we did this morning. We came before the Lord. We came into God's presence, into His holy courts with praise. And you know, I love reading the book of Psalms. How many of you love Psalms? You know, it's part of my daily devotion. That's why, you know, when Eileen, thank you for that prophetic word, Eileen. When she, came up today and when she said, I have a word from the Lord. And I said, that's exactly what God wants to speak to this congregation. That's exactly what God wants to say. And God speaks through His word. And you know, when you talk about the book of Psalm, the book of Psalm is a collection of songs written mostly by David, but some written by Moses and some by Asaph and the other psalmist. But yet, it's a collection of songs meant to highlight the glory and the splendor and the majesty of God. And you know, this particular set of psalms is what is called the enthronement psalm. And this is part of a collection of a group of psalm that you will find from Psalm 93. If you have your Bible, you don't have to turn there right now, but you know, just take note of this. You know, Psalm 93 is part of the enthronement psalm. Psalm 95 to Psalm 99, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99 is the enthronement psalm. And the enthronement psalm basically is this. The psalmist is giving an invitation to all the people of God to lift up the name of Christ, to lift up the name of God, to come into the presence of God, to come into His courts, to come into the temple, and He gives the reason why God is worthy to be praised. How many of you know that there's so many reasons why we can thank God for? Amen. As we ended 2023, and as we start 2024, we want to say, God, thank you. But more than God thanking, you know, but more than thanking God for what He has given to us, how many of you know that we ought to thank God for who He is? His nature. His attribute. We thank God because He is good, period. We thank God because He loves us, period. Whether you have already received a breakthrough from your fasting last week or not, how many of you know that there's a reason to thank God for every single day? Yes. Yes. We thank God for His compassion. We thank God for His mercy. We thank God for His salvation. We thank God that we are still here standing before God and continuing to enjoy His blessings every day. Basically, this psalm highlights the nature of God and the consequences of His rulership and even His holiness. That's why when as you notice, when we have read earlier, there are so many imperatives. Parang daming command, di ba? And the psalmist just freely wrote, you know, an invitation to the people of God to basically come before the temple. And we would see imperatives that call forth that praise. We see, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of His salvation. And then we see, declare His glory. And then we see, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. We're going to look at that in a bit. And then we will see, worship the Lord. And basically what the psalmist is saying, because he deserves all these things, it's an invitation to come before the presence of God. You know, I don't know about you, but how many of you have actually stepped foot in Malacanang? You've been invited for like a dinner or by the president himself to join him for like a dinner. Anyone here? How many of you would love to have that opportunity? How many of you would love to be there, right? How many of you know it's an honor to be part of that ensemble that will actually be there and have a state dinner together with, you know, the diplomatic community, the president, his cabinet, and some, you know, visitors from other countries? How much more the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? How much more that? And the Bible simply says in Psalm 23 that He prepares before us a table in the presence of our enemies. It's like a regular fare that you don't have to receive an invitation from the higher ups to enjoy the presence of God. You can actually do that every single day because the invitation is open to us, His people. Amen. Come on now. We ought to give praise to the Lord for that. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand for that? And may this year, you know, as I was just sharing earlier, may this year be a year wherein we would delight more in the Word of God, wherein we would delight more in the presence of God, wherein we would delight more in the things of God. There's no comparison, guys. There's no comparison between the things that you can buy and the things that you can have and whatever it is that you are praying for, a house, a car, but it's nothing compared to having the Lord Himself. There's no intimacy compared to the intimacy that we can have with God. My prayer as your pastor is this: may this year be that year wherein we could actually step forward and distinguish that the things of God are so much better than the things of this world. Wala talaga eh. We can't have satisfaction enough. No amount of promotion or no amount of wealth or no amount of property or no amount of possession or no amount of investment or no amount of travel can actually fulfill your heart apart from the presence of God. He is worthy. He is holy. And we need Him. You know, the context of this psalm, you know every psalm has a story. That's why when you look at Psalm 96, it's almost like a celebration of, wow. It's an extreme celebration of the people of God in Israel. And you'd find the setting, it was a time of David when thousands of Israelites were bringing the Ark of the Covenant. Now, how many of you are familiar with the Ark of the Covenant? The Ark of the Covenant is where the presence of God dwelt in the Old Testament. How many of you know that we don't need the Ark of the Covenant anymore? We are the Ark of the, we are the people of God. We are the, you know, we carry the presence of God. We are that. But in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God. And for the longest time, it was with the enemy's hand. And for a while, David wanted to bring it back to Jerusalem. And so, you know, finally they got the Ark and they were bringing it back. And so every step that they have, they have like a sacrifice and they were celebrating before the Lord. And this is a time in 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and chapter 16 wherein David was dancing with all his might. And we'd see a picture. You know, this, you know, of course, this is not the actual picture. Okay? I'm not sure what he was dancing, Macarena or whatever, okay? You know, but he was dancing. He was dancing with all his might. I mean, he was the king, and he does not care about reputation. He does not care about, you know, whether he's in sync or whether he knows how to dance. All he cares about is he wants to praise and glorify because finally the presence of God, the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant is back in Jerusalem. They are rejoicing. Unfortunately, his wife, Michal, the daughter of Saul, despised David. When he saw that the king is doing such act of indecency before the people. Somehow David saw something that Michal despised. And I hope that this year you'll be able to see God in a fresh new way, that you would be able to see the holiness of God, and it is not to be despised. I ask that God would open up our eyes. He saw the glory and the majesty of a holy and a sovereign God that not only rules Israel, but rules all the nations of the world. He saw that. He saw the God that is cut above the rest. He saw the God of Israel is mightier than any God of their enemy nations. May we see God in His majesty and glory and in holiness. And particularly Psalm 96 was taken from, you know, almost word for word, verbatim. It's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 23 to 33. Okay, we don't have to turn there, but just take note of that. So Psalm 96 is almost like identical. So, you know, David basically, you know, brought the ark, and then he called all his musicians together. And after they brought the ark in Jerusalem, David was just so generous that he gave food to everyone in Israel. You know, bread, meat, you know, a cake of raisin for each and every person in Israel. I don't know how many thousands there were, but he was generous because it's a time of celebration. And then he asked Asaph, the chief of the songwriters, of the Levites in the temple, to write a psalm, and this is exactly what came out. And this is part of that long song of celebration of the worship of God, and we find this in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 23-33. In verse 1, we've read, "O sing to the Lord a new song, sing to the earth all, sing to the Lord all the earth." You know, part one of this psalm basically is telling the people, sing. Everybody say, sing. And if you love to sing, please, if you're a Filipino, you're a singer. It's inherent. It doesn't matter if you have a nice voice or not, you can sing. And you will sing. And yet the psalmist is saying, oh, sing to the Lord what? A new song. And somehow the psalm left that open-ended. They didn't talk about, you know, what's the song about? Sing to the Lord a new song. My question for us today is, what is your new song of praise to God? Is there a new song in your heart that you would like to write for the Lord and sing out? Just blurt it out. Just, it doesn't matter if you're in tune or out of tune. The Bible says, make a joyful noise. Could be a response to some event in your life with God. Now, there's a new song that comes out because of what happened, maybe 2023, or what God is about to do in 2024. You have a testimony to write about. There's a song in your heart right now getting ready to be sang from the Lord. Verse 4, it says, "For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." You know, God is great and majestic above the heavens. There's no question about that already. He rules in the heavens. But yet, when it comes to His rulership on earth, how many of you know that there's a lot of idols here on earth? There's a lot of man-made gods, small g, here on earth. But yet the Bible is saying He is to be feared above all gods. In fact, in verse 5, it says, "For all the gods of the peoples are what? They're worthless." Everybody say, worthless idols. They're worthless idols. It's being on man-made. The gods that people worship nowadays, and even back in the day of David, and even before that, they're all man-made. We see physical idols, right, being carried. But nowadays, you don't have to have a physical idol anymore. The idols that people have today have been replaced by idols in the heart. You don't have to have or carry a physical idol, there's a lot of idols in the heart of humanity today. Idols of materialism, idols of lust, idols of pride, idols of unforgiveness. I mean, just fill in the blanks. But yet God is saying, I mean, the psalmist is saying, the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. And then he added this statement, but the Lord made the heavens. He's making a distinction between man-made idols and the God who created everything. Who will you worship? Doon na ako sa nag-create. No comparison. Somehow the psalmist minimizes the gods that people worship because they are worthless. And idols are always things made by man. You know, we praise God as creator because there is no one like him. No one like him. We came out of the mind and the heart of God. You and I were not products of evolution. You and I did not come from a bacteria or a protozoa that eventually became a frog, that eventually had, you know, a vertebrae, that eventually started walking, that eventually developed feet, you know, and then boom, you are a human being. Guess what? You have been made in the image and likeness of God. You and I were created male and female. He created them. There's only two genders, not multiple genders. Never say amen. Amen. And I wouldn't apologize for saying that. It's not about your preference, it's about God's design. God creates according to his holy wisdom. God gave you your gender and your sex in accordance to his plan and purpose for your life. Don't ever try to change that. Be grateful for who you are because you are precious in the sight of God. You're holy. You've been set apart before God. God creates, you know, that's why I kind of shared this last Friday, you know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And we know that when you talk about the beginning of the year, we have so many plans. We have so many, may mga discartations tayo. Discarded for the year. But how many of you know, you don't have to create open doors. God creates those for us. And may God create his plan and his purpose and his opportunities and his favor and his open door for us this year, 2024. Stop striving and doing things on your own. Trust in the God that can create things for us. Amen. He created the heavens and the earth. If he created the universe, ano ba naman he created for us? Guys. And he constantly creates new stars until today. There are stars that are being born and being made. And he can create opportunities for us. Ascribe to the Lord, verse 7, I want to go faster. O families of the people, ascribe to the Lord the glory and strength. You know, to ascribe means to name a quality that belongs to a person. That's what to ascribe means, okay? So when you say to ascribe to an artist means we ascribe creativity to an artist. We say we ascribe creativity to an artist. To an engineer, we ascribe ingenuity. Okay? To a dancer, we ascribe grace or movement of grace or something like that. To a singer, we ascribe, you know, a nice voice or whatever. Okay? But to God, we ascribe glory and splendor. That's what we ascribe to him. There's no one like him. He's the only one who's glorious. And the splendor that God had in all of creation is different from what we see that human beings can create. You know, when you go to different places, you'll see the beauty of God. You know, just look around you. Okay? Not here, okay? But, you know, when you travel or when you go into, you know, another country or another city in the Philippines, you know, I have some pictures here. You know, just look at the different scenario. I mean, just the raw beauty of the places that are here, whether it's, you know, our beaches, whether it's underwater, you know, there's just so much beauty and splendor because it was created by God. We ascribe to the Lord's glory and splendor and strength with what He has given to us. And you know, the reason why God created all this is not only to display His glory, but this is for us to enjoy as well. It's for you to enjoy and to take care of, not to destroy. Verse 9, worship the Lord in the splendor, last verse, in the splendor of holiness, tremble before Him all the earth. My question for us this morning is this, why is holiness so beautiful? What's so beautiful about holiness? Holiness is an attribute of God that says He is like no other. A cut above the rest. It talks about His transcendence. It talks about His magnificence. It talks about Him being on a different category. In fact, when you talk about God is holy and we're made in God's image, we're not talking about God is a better version of us. That's an insult to God. Because God is different from what He has created. He is no way or nowhere anywhere like us. He is not like the angels. He is a cut above the rest. He is a category of His own. That is what holiness means. Another, R.C. Sproul also said, holiness is called the otherness of God. It's known as the otherness of God. And like the quote here, there's no other attribute of God that has been raised to the third degree of repetition in Scripture. There's only one characteristic of God that is communicated to the superlative degree. This is a dimension of God that consumes His very essence. God is what? Holy, holy, holy. We will not find in Scripture mercy, mercy, mercy. Or love, love, love. Or compassion, compassion, compassion. Or grace, grace, grace. But yet, it does not diminish the love of God. But yet, when you talk about holiness, it's a cut. Thank you very much. Mas kaya nang ipicturan, okay? It's a cut above the rest. That's why when you talk about the other attributes of God, this attribute of holiness has an impact in the attribute of God. He has love, but yet it's described as holy love. It's holy justice. It's holy grace and holy fill in the blanks. He is holy in every aspect of His being. God is holy in all of His attributes. Amen. He's not like us who just got bigger and better and more powerful. He is different, a cut above the rest. I'm not sure if you see, you know, sometimes I see my wife cooking, you know, she's cutting, you know, vegetables. Like, for example, carrots, okay? And she's cutting there, and she's setting aside the carrot to be put in the pot, and those carrots should not be put in the pot. It's that crude way of describing that God is set apart, a cut above the rest. Holiness basically reflects the character of God. You know, in Isaiah 6, the Bible says, the whole temple shook at the holiness of God. Inanimate and lifeless objects were moved. You know, in Isaiah 6, because of the holiness of God, how much more us who've been called holy as a people. May we see the holiness as a reflection of the good character of God. You know, sometimes there are things in this world that are hard to explain. You know, we don't have answers to that. You know, maybe you got sick last year. Maybe you lost a loved one. You know, or maybe, I don't know, you're probably asking about the war in the Middle East. You know, there's just some things in this world that's out of sync, out of whack, because of the fall of man. It doesn't change the good character of God, that He is holy, that He is in charge, that he can actually, he's in control of what's happening around the world. Amen. We can put our complete trust in him for 2024 and beyond because he knows what he is doing. How many of you know that we can put our trust in a holy God? Amen. Let's say, for example, you know, after the service, Ying, or maybe Pastor Saul, would come and borrow my car to get something for an hour long, okay? You know, I'd just give him the key, say, okay, bro, you know, because why? Because I trust you. I trust that you will return the car to me. And if there's a dent, you will fix it because Gilbert is there. Anyway, so... But if that is true among our earthly relationships, how much more the God who is perfect and the God who is holy, can we not trust him with what's happening around the world? We can put our trust in him, amen. He is holy, and we can actually worship. And why do we worship this? I want to end here. Why do we worship this holy God? Because he calls us into a relationship with him. Not only is he a God who is transcendent and magnificent and imminent, but he is a God who is intimate with us. He is personal with us. We can reach out to him. In fact, he's reaching out to us. Man does not have holiness. We're sharing the holiness of God. It's God who makes us holy. You know, when we walk in holiness, we don't have inherent holiness. What we have is imparted holiness. Yes, God is calling us to be a holy people. The Bible says, be holy as God is holy. But the holiness that you and I have is not inherent holiness. It's just imparted by God. With God, he does not have to work it or will it. It's just natural. It's who he is. He is holy, period. It emanates from his very being, his essence. That's his attribute. But for us, whatever God touches, that he makes holy. And I hope that we can thank the Lord for that. That which was common before, us, we used to be common, now we're being set apart. And we have been made special. And we have been made holy for his purpose. You know, the one who gave you his life, Jesus, is holy, holy, holy. In fact, Pastor Adrian Rogers said this, holiness is not the way to Christ. Christ is the way to holiness. You don't strive holiness to be Christ-like. Christ is the means to holiness. The motivation of holiness is Christ. The example of holiness is Christ. The power to walk holy is Christ. And the end goal of holiness is Christ. And that's who we are. We're found in Christ because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. We have been made holy. And I pray that we would see Christ in a fresh new way for this year, 2024. Amen. Let's bow our heads right now.
Thank you for joining us. You can visit victory.org.ph to find a church, join the Victory Group, and give online. Thank you for partnering with us in discipling the city, the nation, and the world through your generosity. For more messages like this, you can subscribe to this podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.